eat it this week. I'm at that point where I can't tell the difference between all the dumplings. And yesterday night, I was at this fellowship dinner, and one of the ladies bought me a plate of dumplings, and she's like, oh, let's see if you can tell the difference. And I was like, no, I can't. I'm just like eating all these dumplings in my face. But it's been really good. And I pray that this year will bring greater blessing as we continue to lean in on the promises of God. Now, if you've been with us from the start of the year, you know we've just finished a four-part series on the life of King David, setting the foundations for how we ought to serve, to have a pure heart, to have a faith that honors God, and to know that as we serve, we're going to be put on God's training ground, and that's going to be lifelong. What a reminder for us as we step out in faith to serve in the areas that God has called us to serve with a right heart, a heart that honors God in the small things, and a heart that is willing to be shaped, formed, and molded to that of Christ Jesus. Now, before we get into the Book of Daniel series, starting with the first week of March, I want to spend today and next Sunday looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So get your Bibles ready, and that's where we're going to camp out this morning and next Sunday. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 to 11. I believe what the Bible tells us is that every individual here is gifted with spiritual gifts from the Spirit of God for the purpose of serving others within the body of Christ and to bring glory to Him alone. And so that's what we're going to look at today, and we're going to see Paul's letter to the Corinthians and how it can encourage us as we go forward in serving and the giftings that God has generally given to us. So I have a message titled, Gifted for Service. Gifted for Service. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You, and as we come before You, we allow Your Spirit to work powerfully in and through us. As we open our ears and our spiritual eyes, Lord, teach us. As we seek You, teach us to lean into Your promises and teach us that Your Word is indeed true and powerful and it can penetrate our hearts. And Lord, for those of us who are seeking gifts, Lord, help us to not seek these gifts for personal gain or personal fulfillment, but help us to seek these spiritual gifts for the building up of Your church and for the sake of love. So Lord, we thank You for this time. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, in my early 20s, I used to be part of a life group back in Australia. And every time Christmas came around, we used to play a game called Secret Santa. Now, it's not a popular game here in the US. The most popular one is White Elephant, right? People love to play White Elephant, this whole concept of stealing gifts. Right? It's pretty funny. But in Australia, the most popular was Secret Santa. Now, for those of you who haven't heard of this game, Secret Santa is basically the gift-giving tradition where members of a group, friends, or co-workers, they draw names at random and then they go out and buy gifts. Then on the day of the celebration, everyone has the opportunity to open up a gift and then guess, oh, I think it's so-and-so who would buy me this gift. Oh, I think it's this lady that would have bought me this gift. So it's a holiday classic where the guessing is as much as fun as receiving the gift. Now, in the life group that I was part of, there was a couple of things that happened whenever we played the game. Now, first was when people would open their gifts, if it was like socks or hand cream or calendars, people would literally spend the next couple of minutes just laughing away at the gift. All right, in Australia, everyone would just be like, ha-ha, you know, you got this calendar, sucks to be you, right? Ha-ha, you got this hand cream, or ha-ha, you got a box of tissues, or ha-ha, you got a socks. And Australians is very different to Americans. Americans would be very polite and be like, oh, don't say anything, just in case you were the one who bought the socks. You know, you don't want your feelings hurt. But Australians would just like, they wouldn't care. They're like, who would buy these socks? And, you know, who would buy these calendars? And then people would fess up like, ha-ha, I'm the one who bought those stupid socks, you know. I'm the one who bought that stupid calendar. And there was another thing that happened when we played Secret Santa in Australia. It was, if you got a big or cool gift, you were expected and you had the pressure to use it or serve others with it. So, for example, if today you got a barbecue utensils kit, then people will be like, hey, you're hosting the next summer barbecue at your place. Or today if you got chocolates, then people will be like, open it up now so we can have it. And I remember one life group member, he won all these movie tickets. And so, and not just one, but many. And people were like, you're treating us to free movies next week, right? So this game of Secret Santa in Australia, in my life group, wasn't that great. If you get a small gift that people deemed as useless, then you get made fun of. If you get a cool gift, like a barbecue kit or movie tickets, and you're expected to use it and share it with others the next weekend. Today we're looking at the community of believers in the city of Corinth. This community has been brought out by the blood of Jesus from their previous lives and into a new life in Christ. And because of their new identity and purpose, God has graciously given them all spiritual gifts to build up their faith community. You see, like my experience of Secret Santa growing up, this community of brothers and sisters were also given gifts. And they had the same problem. They would elevate some gifts, and they would not look highly upon others. And the gifts that they did receive, they weren't inclined to use it for the common good, but rather to keep it to themselves, bring personal self-fulfillment. Today and next week, we're going to see how the Apostle Paul teaches us believers today that when it comes to receiving spiritual gifts from God, they're not meant to be elevated over another, nor are they supposed to be kept to oneself, but rather gifts that are given are there for us to serve one another. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 to 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 to 11. Now, dear brothers and sisters, regarding your question about the spiritual abilities the Spirit gives us, I don't want you to misunderstand this. You know that when you were still pagans, you were led astray and swept along in worshipping speechless idols. So I want you to know that no one speaking by the Spirit of God will curse Jesus, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it is the same God who does the work in all of us. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. To one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. To another, the same Spirit gives a message of special knowledge. The same Spirit gives great faith to another. And to someone else, the Spirit gives the gift of healing. He gives one person the power to perform miracles and another ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. Still another person is given the ability to speak in unknown languages, while another is given the ability to interpret what is being said. It is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. Now today, this morning, I'm going to try and break down what Paul says in this section. It's a big passage, and I know there's a lot of things going on, so hang tight. First, what's interesting is that Paul's discussion of spiritual gifts does not start with spiritual gifts. Rather, it begins with an affirmation that Jesus Christ is Lord. The Lordship of Jesus means affirming his rule and reign over the universe. Now, this is crucial to the Corinthians, because in their background, in their culture, it emphasized these type of spiritual experiences from whatever spirits and divinities of their former life when they worshipped these new idols. So coming from that background, a background that didn't recognize Jesus as the Lord, it's important that Paul tells these Corinthians that, hey, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, is committed to proclaiming that Jesus is Lord. And to be truly spiritual, not as those false gods deemed as spiritual, to be truly spiritual was to be played out in the life of the local church and commitment to Jesus as Lord in all things. This was said in a backdrop where it was all about personal self-fulfillment. So before Paul gets into spiritual gifts, he understands that it's important to set it straight, that every spiritual thing that he's going to talk about must flow from the recognition that Jesus is Lord. Crucial lesson for us right off the bat. As we seek spiritual gifts this year, as we seek to serve one another, we must also take that standpoint. It's not about us. It's not about seeking individual fulfillment. But first, it's about recognizing that Jesus is Lord. And everything must flow from that context. So going on from verses 4 to 7, let's read verses 4 to 7 again. It says, there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it is the same God who does the work in all of us. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. Paul states within spiritual gifts, there are different kinds. In other words, there is diversity. And this diversity of gifts finds its roots in God himself. God, in turn, by his Spirit, has given different gifts to different people for the common good of the community. The Corinthians were known to regard a possession of spiritual gifts as a matter of pride and had set one believer against another on the basis of the possession of this or that gift. So they had created division. Paul insists that this is the wrong attitude. There is a diversity of gifts, the Spirit gives, but it is the same Spirit, and the Spirit does not fight against himself. And the purpose of these gifts is to help and serve one another. Now, just quickly, I found this definition to be very helpful when it comes to understanding what spiritual gifts are. Now, there are many interpretations out there and misunderstandings when it comes to spiritual gifting. So I appreciate what a Christian author and theologian by the name of Dr. Sam Storms says regarding spiritual gifts. I have it on this slide. It says, spiritual gifts are nothing less than God himself in us, energizing our souls, imparting revelation to our minds, infusing power in our wills, and working his sovereign and gracious purpose through us. So first we must recognize, before getting into the list of gifts that Paul states from verses 8 to 11, gifts originate from God and are given to us. We do not have any claim to it, or we cannot muster it up from our own willpower. It is God himself who imparts this to us to energize, to fill our minds, to give us power so that he can work his purposes through us on this earth. So with this in mind, that's our basis for serving one another with our gifts. Paul now gives 9 examples of this variety, of this diversity of gifts. And I'm going to break it down this morning in 3 categories. First is the list of teaching gifts. So it's a word of wisdom and a word of knowledge. Second, there is the power gifts, the faith, healings, miracles, prophecy, and discernment of spirits. And third is speech gifts, the tongues and the interpretation. So the first, we're going to look at the teaching gifts, the word of wisdom and word of knowledge. Now, regarding these two types of gifts, there's actually no final agreement on what Paul means here. Scholars debate back and forth as to what exactly Paul is talking about. But I believe Paul could be referring to this context is God being the one who is able to fill us in such a way to speak wisely and intelligently in a particular situation. So for the Corinthians, it would have been understood because in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul comes into this context filled with the wisdom of God to speak on spiritual matters of God, not with worldly wisdom, but with heavenly wisdom. In the Corinthian culture, they valued speech and Greek philosophy, but Paul comes with godly, heavenly wisdom, inspired teaching from above. Second, there are the gifts characterized by spiritual power. Spiritual power, faith, healings, miracles, prophecy, and the discernment of spirits. Now, in this category, the gift of faith is mentioned first. Faith looks at God's character and stands firmly on God's promises. So it's a gift of a member of the body looking at any given situation in the community and brings confidence that God will move in impossible situations. Hebrews 11 talks about this reality. Men and women of God, through faith, were assured of things that they could neither see nor prove, and consequently they pressed on with God through the most testing circumstances. There's always examples of this kind throughout church history, like people like George Muller, Hudson Taylor, William Wilberforce, or the Reformation martyrs, many of who stepped out in faith, not knowing what tomorrow holds, but they can trust in God's promises. Now, immediately we may think, well, God will only use these giants of faith or senior leaders of the church or pastors or elders with the gift of faith. No, that's often not the case. I've heard countless of stories where God uses the weakest, the smallest, the youngest person to speak faith into a situation. Often when I have lacked faith in my own journey, in my own calling, I've had the mouths of young children and teens speak faith into my context. Second, the gifts of healing. Jesus, Paul, and the rest of the early church, they lived in a regular expectation that God would heal physical bodies. According to Acts, such healings accompany Paul's own ministry. There's also mention in the book of James where it says, if anyone is sick, come to the elders for the laying of hands with the anointing of oil. Now, quickly, I don't believe there is one pastor or one healer who can go around with the gift of healing. Okay, so there's throughout church history and in modern church history, there is no one who goes around and says he has the gift of healing, that he can pull out this gift of healing card anytime there's a crusade or someone gets sick. And then immediately he can heal them. There's no such thing. In the original wording, it's in the plural. Gifts of healings. So Paul may be referring to that of an individual who may be granted by God a gift for a particular healing for a particular occasion. Third, the power to perform miracles. Paul has in view here the power of working all sorts of miracles other than just simple cures. Resurrection from the dead, the driving out of demons. Fourth, prophecy. In chapter 14, Paul speaks of prophecy being able to build up the church. So it was this spontaneous, spirit-inspired, intelligible message that was delivered to God's people in times of discouragement. Fifth, the discernment of spirits. Some people have the gift and the ability to distinguish between what's a spirit-given prophecy and what's an uninspired utterance. Finally, there are speech gifts, tongues and their interpretation. Tongues and their interpretation. First, when it comes to the gift of tongues, it's one of the most controversial gifts that continue to divide the church today. What exactly is speaking in tongues? Is it just an earthly language? Or is it random babbling? I'm of the view that speaking in tongues is a speech language the speaker does not know himself. And that sometimes it does not follow the patterns of any known human language. For example, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1, talks about the language of angels. In 1 Corinthians 14, 2, talks about how one is speaking in tongues, is speaking directly to God himself. Acts 10, 46, when the Gentiles who received the Holy Spirit were heard speaking in other tongues, praising God. And so I'm not of the belief that it is just earthly language. I'm of the belief that tongues could be inspired, unknown speech that is directed towards God. Now, the nature of tongues makes their interpretation necessary, which is the last gift that Paul mentions. If the church is to be strengthened by the speaking of tongues, then there must be someone with the gift of interpretation. Someone who has this insight into what's going on and is able to interpret it all so that the whole body of Christ gets benefited. Paul then wraps up in verse 11. It is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. Now, this statement by Paul is crucial for the proper approach to these gifts. Basically saying is, God wills, God apportions. In other words, God is the one who distributes. God alone is the one who gives it. We don't get to choose a spiritual gift or of our preference. We don't get to sit around and say, oh, I would like this gift or that gift. The Spirit gives as he sees fit. He knows us better than we know ourselves. And so in God's perfect timing and will, he equips us with a particular gift for a particular service. So on that note, a couple of lessons for us this year as we serve. First, I want to point out is this. Every believer has at least one spiritual gift. Every believer has at least one spiritual gift. Throughout the New Testament, there are a total of 20 spiritual gifts that can be found in 1 Peter 4, Ephesians 4, 1 Corinthians 12, Romans 12. The Holy Spirit is the one who distributes these gifts as he wills for the purposes of building up God's people. So today, if you're a believer, if you have been bought by the precious blood of Christ, you are part of this community of faith, then you are essential to the building up of this body. And because you are essential to the building up of this body, then you are given gifts to carry out contribution to this body. Now, you may not have all the gifts. In fact, throughout church history, no one has all 20 gifts, but at least you have one gift. And a simple and practical way for you guys thinking about this is to discover your spiritual gift, is to see how you respond in certain situations or needs in the life of your community. For example, those with exhortation or teaching, they just have a natural knack to help and encourage others through teaching. Leaders who have this special ability to lead and take charge of situations. People who have this gift of mercy and serving, they have this natural ability to just go and do without hesitation. Some people who see someone hurting or who has some sort of trauma, they take that step of faith and they pray and for them to experience healing. It may not come, but we don't know if we don't try. God graciously grants us all that is necessary to meet a specific need in the building up of this body. So I want to encourage all of us, as we go out, ask God. He created us. He knows us best. He gave us spiritual gifts. So he's the best one to know what we need when we need it. Second, we start serving at church, in our home, in our workplace, in our schools, in the community. As we begin to serve with the giving mindset of God, he gives us these opportunities and these gifts become revealed to us. Personal experience of mine. I grew up in church, as all of you know. Often when it comes to giftings in the church that I grew up, it was misunderstood with natural talent or skills that could be acquired throughout time. But as I grew my faith, as I started seeking spiritual gifts, as stated in the Word of God, God bit by bit revealed to me throughout my time when I started serving my spiritual gifts, what my spiritual gifts were. And the way it came about was people used to open up to me and share with me their life issues, their spiritual faith questions. And in those moments, as I listened, I always had an inclination to speak words of encouragement. And I always had this God-sized faith in the promises of God to speak into their particular situation. And so a lot of people would say, "Hey, Ben, that was really encouraging. Hey, Ben, you were able to speak faith into my situation. Ben, I couldn't see things from that perspective, but thank you for boosting my faith." And it became more and more natural to me because as I was putting myself in these situations, as I was attending fellowships, as I was attending church, I started to see, hey, these things come really naturally to me. And I feel like, hey, this could be my spiritual gift. I would have never discovered my gifting if I simply just came to church, sang a few songs, listened to a sermon, and go home. You have to put yourself in this situation. And as you do, you have to be constantly asking God, "Lord, what can I do? What can I do in the body of Christ?" You know, at airports, they have this sign. See something, say something. Right? What does that mean? See something, say something. It's basically to counter terrorism or human trafficking. Right? If you see something sus, make sure you say something. Right? Likewise, in the Christian faith community, we open our eyes to see what's around us. Who's hurting? Who's been missing? Who needs encouragement? Who looks down or depressed? We say something. God may give us a word to speak into someone's life. Second, we desire spiritual gifts so that we can love. Desire spiritual gifts so that you can love. What does desiring spiritual gifts look like? What do you do when you really want something in your life? You don't wait around for someone to deliver it like an Amazon package, like fully assembled, ready to use. You go looking for it. Recently, I think someone said to me, "I'm going through a midlife crisis because I've been really desiring a minivan." And one of the neighbors said to me, "Ben, I think you're going through a midlife crisis, but I've been really desiring a minivan. I'm not going to sit around and wait one day I open my door and there's a minivan outside my door. I'm going to go seek it." So I started seeking it. I started going online, started doing my research. I started walking around the neighborhood looking at who was selling their minivan. And then a neighbor, he was selling a minivan. I bought a minivan recently. All right, it's the best thing that's happened to me. It goes God, family, church, and then minivan. All right, so I really recommend a minivan for those of you, all right? The temptation for many of us today is as we desire spiritual gifts, as we go out to desire, low-key, we can desire those that are seen more highly than others. We want gifts that make us look good in front of others. But as we learn from today's passage, gifts are not for personal fulfillment, but they are for the common good, so that we can love one another. If you look at 1 Corinthians 12 to 14, it can all be summed up in the words of love. The whole theme is love. The Spirit doesn't give us gifts in order that we can have some self-important moment in the spotlight. He gives us gifts for the greater glory of Christ, and so that we can pursue love through serving one another. Love is the ultimate goal and aim of spiritual gifts. So as I wrap it up this morning, my desire as the pastor of this church, as we serve this year, first we must understand we are under the lordship of Jesus. Every spiritual matter, every spiritual thing, every spiritual gift falls from recognition that He is Lord. Once we understand that, we know that spiritual things is not for personal fulfillment, but it is for Him. Second, we all have at least one gift. We can ask God for it. We can discover as we go and meet the needs in the life of our community. And third, as we go on for the rest of our Christian lives, we should earnestly pursue gifts, desire gifts, not for ourselves, but for the building up of Christ. We do this not so that we can have the spotlight, but we do this out of love. At the start of the message, I talk about Secret Santa. I'm reminded of a story. Last year, the EM Young Adults and the Adult Fellowship, they got together to play White Elephant during Christmas time. Now, one of the young adults, I won't mention his name, he unwrapped a box, and inside that box was a box of Krispy Kreme donuts. And I thought, and I sat down, I was like, man, this guy has hit the jackpot. right? It's gonna, like, if it was me, I would be so happy. I would make sure no one steals it. I would physically make sure no one takes it, right? But when he got the box, I heard him say immediately, I'm going to give this to the youth tomorrow. Without hesitation. First thing he said, I was like, man, if it was me, I would eat all these dozen donuts. I might even sell it. No. He said right off the bat, I'm going to give it to the youth tomorrow. Now, this has been playing on my mind a lot, actually, in the last couple months. Because first, I'll make a confession. When he wasn't looking, I took a donut. In order to not feel guilty, I looked for Minister Jackie and I gave her half of my donut, right? But in all seriousness, it's been playing on my mind because when it comes to serving in the context of spiritual gifts, when we have received a gift, we don't immediately think, oh, how can I use it for my own purpose? How can I enjoy it? But this young adult, he said, how can I use it immediately to bless others with it? And I believe only when we have this mentality among brothers and sisters, only when we have that immediate impulse to say, how can I use it for others? How can I build up others? Then we will truly build up this body of Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you have given us all spiritual gifts for the building up of your church. Lord, we may not know what our gift is yet, but Lord, as we seek you, as we put ourselves in situations to open our eyes, to see who's in need, who is missing, who needs a word of encouragement, Lord, speak to us powerfully in ways that we cannot perceive so that we can speak out with much faith and encouragement to all those around us. Lord, help us to not be shy from these spiritual gifts, but help us to take that step of faith this year, to know that you have equipped us with spiritual gifts. And with these spiritual gifts, Lord, we can use it to serve and to ultimately love one another. Lord, we just pray, Lord, as we seek you, as we turn our attention and focus on you, Lord, help us to not make it about ourselves. Help us to not make serving about personal fulfillment, but help us to make serving all about you. Lord, we thank you for this time. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand. Let's respond in worship.
Thank you, Ben. It is the one Spirit who gives us all the spiritual gifts. Let's sing the song, Holy Spirit. There's nothing worth more that will ever come close. Nothing can compare. Tasted and seen of the sweetest of love.